Sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. John Morosi, baseball insider for the MLB Network and for Fox Sports, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. John, how you doing today?
Outstanding. Happy New Year to you, Bill, and all the listeners in the great state of Wisconsin. Greetings from the other side of Lake Michigan here in Michigan.
There you go. So from Michigan to San Francisco, how close are the Brewers, in your opinion, to actually picking up Madison Bumgarner?
Not imminent, Bill, but I do think that for the Giants, their best trade partner right now is Milwaukee, both because of the Brewers' clear need for one more starting pitcher, the Brewers' depth, both of young major league starters like Burns and Woodruff and Peralta, one of whom could probably be part of a deal for Bumgarner. And then I think that the Brewers' general reluctance to get involved in the big high dollar free agent players. I think that for obvious reasons that they're not going to be able to compete with offers from a club like the Phillies, and so as a result the Brewers can be a lot more focused on obviously Yasmani Grandal and that signing last night, but also the trade market. So while the Phillies are also a fit for Bumgarner, they're right now focused on Harper and Machado and Dallas Keuchel and potentially Craig Kimbrell. The Brewers can be much more focused on the potential of adding a short-term starting pitcher at roughly the price point that Bumgarner is, which is 1 year and $12 million, a pretty reasonable sum for a World Series legend, really, in our time. So I think the fit is there. I don't believe there's anything imminently happening, but I think both sides have a pretty good understanding of where the other sits in terms of what it would actually require to get a deal done.
For the World Series legend, yes. For what he's done over the last couple of years, you know, obviously you're hoping to recapture some of that World Series dominance, but how does he fit into the rotation that the Brewers have right now? I mean, is he come in and would he come in and be the clear number one?
I think so. And the reason is this, that you look at the way the Brewers utilize their starting pitching in October, and while we've certainly seen Nelson pitch well when healthy, he obviously wasn't available to them. Anderson was not part of the roster. Davies was pitching out of relief. Chacin is the only pitcher still on the roster right now who actually started a game in the NLCS. Now, I realize that the Brewers were doing something very creative with their rotation at the time, but that's the facts. Out of a seven-game series, it was just the two games started by Chacin that are still represented by the current roster. So I think Bumgarner, with his track record, would be the ace. And then it's just a matter of who they would have to give up to make this deal happen. I think that the Giants very reasonably would expect to get Peralta or Woodruff or Burns, and I think of that group, probably Peralta is the easiest one for the Brewers to trade, just because I think we saw this past year that the control issues at the major league level really made it difficult for them to trust him starting a playoff game. I think that he can get to that point. I think he's got phenomenal stuff as we've seen it, but to me he's going to have to find a way to get in the strike zone more often. And candidly, the Giants can be a little more patient with that process than the Brewers right now, because the Brewers, we saw it last year, they've got a team that can win the World Series, and when you've got a team that's that good, I think it's incumbent on you to add short-term pieces, as the Brewers frankly did last night with the signing of Grandal.
Talking with John Morosi, you can watch him on the MLB Network. He's on the hot stove every morning at 8 a.m. Central Time. Read his work at MLB.com. Did the Brewers, and I kind of credit them, because last year they didn't get in on any big-name pitchers. They were there, but they didn't really go to the altar and spend the money. Instead, they said, we're going to do things differently. And I remember sitting in spring training and having David Stearns tell me, we're only getting the outs. We don't care how we get from point A to point B. We're just going to get the outs. Did they kind of damage the salary value of a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball by doing what they did last year?
It's a great question, Bill. I think that partially, it's possible. I think that the Rays, with what they did with using the opener, and really the Brewers did the same thing. I think it does change the calculus and the way that arbitration salaries certainly have been set for a long time. They used to utilize, and maybe to some extent, we'll see how the arbitrator handles things now. But you look at used to be saves, so you'd be either saves or wins in ERA would be determining factors for pitchers, and that's just simply not the case anymore. It's not how pitchers are being evaluated. You may have, if you look at the Tampa Bay Rays and the way they allocated their innings, starter-like innings being pitched by someone who doesn't start any games. And how do you account for that? Should you say, well, you've started zero games, therefore you're a reliever? Well, that's sort of true, but not really. So I think that, Bill, it's part of an overall reimagining of the way that pitching is thought of in the industry. And I think for that reason, yeah, it certainly could be contributing to a philosophy that wants to distribute your risk out among multiple pitchers. But also part of that dynamic is it's not always sustainable with the same group of pitchers. And by that I mean the Brewers certainly hit on Wade Miley. That you can't really do that every year probably and be as fortunate as they were to have him emerge in the way that he did. They did acquire Gio Gonzalez midway through the year. They, of course, lost Brent Suter to an arm injury during the course of the season. And a key part of the Brewers' roster flexibility is that their younger guys, Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, most specifically, all had minor league options left. So they could be flexible with their rotation and option guys up and down as needed or move them to the bullpen. And that is not a perpetual circumstance. Eventually, those options get used up, and you've got to keep the pitchers in the major leagues or you expose them to waivers. And I remember this was a major feature of the way that the Baltimore Orioles ran their staffs in the early part of this decade. Buck Showalter was very ahead of his time, I think, in many ways. They would option the likes of Kevin Gausman, or it certainly was Zach Britton before he became Zach Britton, Dylan Bundy. There was a lot of that going on with their club, and then eventually those pitchers got older and they started making more money and they had to make some changes. And I think that eventually the Brewers will reach that point where the guys start making too much money, they can't be optioned anymore, which is why, while it looks and feels like this is a young team, there's a lot of urgency with this team as well. And I think that even signing Yasmani Grandal for 1 year, I think, speaks to that urgency that David Stearns is acknowledging with that particular move.
I was going to ask you, what do you think of the Grandal signing overall?
To me, a couple of things. Number one, they got a pretty valuable player at a reasonable sum for 1 year. I think it's still a big number for a club like Milwaukee to be carrying around an $18.25 million salary, even if it's just for 1 year. It's a lot of money. But there's an old saying, there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. And if he hits like he has hit in the past, it allows you to have a bat behind the plate, switch hitter, that gives you power at a spot where not a lot of teams have a lot of power. So I think for that reason, for some factors in the market right now, Grandal was not really valued at the way that he was maybe a year ago, and so there's a bit of a discount there that they got on a pretty good player. But I also have some concern about the way that Grandal has been overlooked and passed over by his own team in the last two playoffs to have Austin Barnes go behind the plate. That to me is concerning. He's had issues while the metrics are good. He has had some issues receiving balls in the playoffs, and whether that's physical, mental, I'm not sure, but it's concerning. And you saw a team with Milwaukee this past year that in October, whatever the offensive numbers were, and they actually were pretty good, all things considered, from Eric Kratz, there was a really high level of trust between the pitchers on that staff and Eric Kratz behind the plate. And that trust and that relationship was really special. And I think to put somebody else behind the plate will be, I think, a certain disruption for a number of pitchers. I don't know how many will struggle that adjustment. Maybe none will, but it is a real thing. And we'll see how, in the biggest games of the year, if the Brewers get there, who they're going to trust to put behind the plate and what Yasmani Grandal can do to dispel some of the notions of any demons that existed for him in the playoffs in each of the last 2 years.
Talking with Baseball Insider and MLB Network guy John Morosi, also with Fox Sports. Now the Mike Moustakas situation still floating around out there. The Brewers have talked about possibly bringing him back. He was open to coming back. He just wants to test the market, obviously. He didn't get the money he thought he would get last year. Give us your thoughts on Moustakas right now.
Well, I think that the Brewers are probably still one of the possibilities that he's thinking about. I think he liked his time in Milwaukee. Of course, he knows Lorenzo Cain well from his time with the Royals and encountered, I think, a similar feel around the organization and the ballpark that he knew from KC. So I think it was a very good fit for Mike in that regard. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Brewers do at second base, because they could do a number of different things. Of course, one of them would be you sign Moustakas and move Shaw over there. They could also bring in DJ LeMahieu, Josh Harrison, even Marwin Gonzalez is a possibility. There's a lot of different things the Brewers have going on at this moment, and I think that Moustakas is probably one of the probably top three or four scenarios they're thinking about. Moustakas, I think he would like to get a multi-year deal after having to go out last offseason and wait around to get that one-year $6.5 million deal from KC. So I think multiple years would matter a lot to Mike. He deserves it, by the way. Looking at his numbers, he's third most home runs hit by any third baseman in the game the last 2 years, behind only Arenado and Jose Ramirez. So he has earned a multi-year contract. But to your point, the market is not really quite as friendly as it should be for him. I was told this week that the Phillies and the White Sox may look at him as a fallback option if they don't get Machado. I don't think, Bill, that we're going to see Moustakas sign until after Machado decides on his team as well.
Real quick before I let you go, you mentioned Harper, you mentioned Machado. When do we see those chips finally fall?
I think Machado could happen in the next week. I think Harper, I'm not seeing anything really imminently occurring there. The Nationals reportedly have jumped back in there with Bryce. We'll see what that means. I do think that Bryce's first choice would be the Dodgers, but I think we're not really seeing an agreement close for Bryce. I think Machado signs first, and we know, of course, the three teams there most involved on him, Phillies, White Sox, and Yankees, who, by the way, according to my sources, have still not even given him a formal on-paper term sheet to sign. So the wait continues for both superstars right now.
Great stuff, John. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much. As always, love reading your stuff, and we'll stay tuned, watching you on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and on Twitter as well. They can find you at the MLB Network, also at Fox Sports. Good stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill. I'll be watching some Michigan and Wisconsin hockey and basketball here in the coming months to stay warm, all
right? Love it. Love it. Love it. Enjoy it, pal.
Great. Take care.
See you, pal. There you go. That's John Morosi, baseball insider for MLB Network and for Fox Sports. You can watch John contribute across the MLB Network, the studio programming, including the Hot Stove show every morning at 8 a.m. Plus, you can read his work at MLB.com. Really good guy. Join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they have been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to Schneider.